You're listening to Robert Wright's Non-Zero Podcast.
Hello, Holly.
Hello, Bob.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Let me introduce us. I'm Robert Wright, publisher of Non-Zero Newsletter. This is a Non-Zero Podcast. You've been here before. You're a past guest. You are Holly Elmore, the executive director of Pause AI US.
Mm-hmm.
From which we can infer that you think AI is moving along faster than is optimal. Something we will get into. We'll talk about all that as usual and talk about AI. But this time we're probably going to talk a little more than in the past about you, if you'll let us. You've been lately a figure of some controversy on Twitter, where I would say most of the insider AI discourse happens. These days, most of the people in the AI community, I would say, do more of their talking on Twitter than on any other big platform. Some people have said some harsh things about you. Some of them might say they said them because of harsh things you said about other people. I guess most fans, you're shaking your head. You would never do that.
But no, I'm agreeing. That's what they would say. Yeah.
Okay. Most famously recently, you said of Amanda Askell, the increasingly famous philosopher who works at Anthropic AI, and I guess has played a significant role in shaping the character of Claude there. Chatbot, she was recently had a write-up in the Wall Street Journal, and you said about her that she is, quote, a bad person. Some people would consider that a harsh judgment. So I wanted to, and you're known for not holding back in your judgments of people who you think deserve harsh judgment. So I wanted to talk about all this, including like what you would say the basis for the judgments is. And then that aside, the whole question of strategy, there are some people who say this is not good for your movement to be seen as mean to people or however you're seen in these cases. So I don't know. Do you want to say anything else before we start? I was going to ask you to elaborate on Amanda Askell. I should say, I think in the course of this, we'll get into a little the whole effect of altruism community and its history and its intersection with the AI safety community, because I think you actually have known some of the people involved, including some of the people you may say harsh things about for some time.
Yes.
So before we explore that case, is there just anything you want to say broadly about this whole question?
Not really. I think it'll be revealed through discussion. I'd like to, I think by speaking about the examples, I'll say what I need to say about why I do it.
Okay. Let's start with Amanda Askell. And first of all, I'm a little unclear what exactly her role has been. I mean, you know, one thing I could say, maybe we'll do this. So we'll bring right away. Let's bring a third character in, Nathan LaBenz, who's host of the Cognitive Revolution podcast, and I think traditionally would associate himself with the AI safety side. I'm not sure whether he's historically been part of the EA community. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yes.
Anyway, I've had him on the podcast. I know Nathan, and he said about kind of in defense of Amanda Askell. After what you said about her, she's done some of the very best AI alignment work and created deeply resonant AI personas, presumably for Claude, as he means. So she works on alignment, which for lay people is the attempt to bring AI into alignment with human values and interests so that it doesn't, from our point of view, misbehave, you know, up to and including taking over the planet and killing us. So I guess that's for starters, is that a fair description of your understanding of what she does at?
No, she doesn't work on alignment. She like, that's what they say, but that's kind of part of what's in contention. She works on fine tuning Claude's personality. You know, she works on fine tuning the character that you speak to when you like access Claude through an API.
Mm-hmm.
That's not making sure that like the base model itself is aligned. And like the substitution of, there's been this watering down of the idea of alignment and what safety is to these very superficial things. Like, yeah, this is a little bit more deeper than just like making sure the model doesn't like curse or say violent things. It's more about what does Claude think, you know, like what does Claude say in response to how does Claude recognize like moral or immoral requests? Like it's a little bit, it's deeper, but it's not working on alignment. I think it's really up jumping like that work to say that that's all, especially if the plan with some of Anthropic's plan for alignment is something called scalable oversight, which is basically they make an AI that's, you know, powerful, and then that AI aligns the next AI and make sure that it's powerful, even though that's, it's too much power for humans to align. And with that, like pass the ball kind of dynamic, I don't see how working on the personas is going to be enough to like make sure that each one is making an aligned AI. Like it's incredibly superficial. So I would not say that Amanda works on alignment.
Okay. So you're saying she works on like making it converse politely and not offensively. Do you know whether as a technical matter, does she do things that actually change the model's weights, like, you know, fine tuning, or is it at a technical level more superficial than that? Or do you not know?
A lot of it is prompting. I think some of it is fine tuning of you know, later layers, but I'm actually not sure.
Okay. And, prompting wouldn't change its weights, but
so like the constitution that got, you know, a lot of press, like that Amanda wrote, that's a set of prompts.
That is a set of prompts. Okay. So yeah, Anthropic pursues constitutional AI. That's a big part of its approach toward alignment, which is trying to give the model a set of principles that it obeys. Right. That's the idea.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think, so what this is just that the first prompt that the model reads, like when it does any action, when like a user gives it a prompt, will include all these principles and like this is how you should answer. But it's not making the base model that does the whole task and reads this whole set of prompts like into something that is aligned. And okay. That I would say is what real alignment is. What they do with the constitution and using prompts like that is maybe, you know, when you control how people access Claude, when you control so under those circumstances it might be like the same difference, but I think that it's not going to be the same if you're trying to use one version of Claude to make another version of Claude that is aligned. I don't think doing very surface level stuff like that is going to cut it.
Okay. What's an example of something you'd be afraid Claude would do in spite of intervention at this level? Something, a problem you think this doesn't solve or really address?
I mean, at this level, it might handle it. But the question is, you know, their goal is
at this level of development, like where we are now.
Yeah. Yes. So at this level of development, at this way that people use Claude and access Claude, it might be enough. It might be fine. But their plan is to keep scaling up and increasing the size of the next generation, and they're planning to get to the point where they can't do that alignment themselves. They need Claude to do it, or they need earlier versions of Claude to do it. And I don't think that what they're doing is deeply aligning Claude enough to do that. Even if that would work under the best circumstances, which we don't know. So it's really up jump to say that what Amanda is doing is alignment, I think, even if it covers, you know, Claude 4.6 is perhaps like aligned enough from the perspective of the user and like what the user can do with it at this point by those techniques.
Okay. And we should say, as I understand it, your range of concerns, I mean, in your role as executive director of Pause AI,
US.
Your concerns about what AI might do range from, you might say, mundane disturbance, mundane, but possibly large scale, like massive unemployment, all the way to the scenario some people consider sci-fi-ish associated with Eliezer Yudkowsky. AI gets out of control, even takes over. And in between that is just like bothersome rogue AIs that do a lot of damage before we wrestle them to the ground, I guess. And then there are all these other conceivable downsides, including on the mental health of users. And you're concerned with the whole gamut of problems, including the possibility that the sheer accumulation of them, even if we are don't get to the sci-fi level could be very problematic. Is that right?
Yeah. Pause AI is a single issue coalition. And it's about pausing AI. And lots of people have lots of reasons that they think that, you know, they think pausing AI is the right thing. I think pausing AI is the right next step to any plan. Mm-hmm. It's really just common sense that we shouldn't make the problem worse before we know how we're going to handle safety or handle any of the externalities. And this rapid development is producing a lot of externalities, you know, a lot of kinds. And then to me, the most severe of those is disasters caused by AI, the existential risk. But mm-hmm. All of these externalities caused by development they're caused by development. So the answer is to pause for now. And then if the development is to resume, it should take into account how it's going to deal with the externalities to the environment or the externalities to the mental health of users or the externalities to just risk presented to our safety.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I should say, you know, I've mentioned Amanda Askell, I mentioned Nathan LeBenz. I mean, you know, these people are, I'm happy to talk to them if any of them want to talk about. I'll probably be talking to Nathan in any event. We just talk every once in a while. But I've never met Amanda Askell. But I just want to say if there's anybody who feels unfairly criticized in the course of this, I'm here to help. So let's get to that part. I mean, having made that disclaimer, why is Amanda Askell a bad person in your judgment?
She knows what she's doing. She's building superintelligence with Anthropic. And she knows that that is bad. They have a lot of justifications for why they do that. They'll say things like, the only way that we can prevent superintelligence from hurting everybody is to build it ourselves. But it's wrong, and she can see through that. And she's providing, especially with a lot of those puff pieces about, like, the woman who gives Claude morals, kind of presenting her as, like, a Prometheus mother character, mythologizing Claude a lot. Like, those are things that protect Anthropic from criticism and protect people from, they protect them from seeing through, like, the flimsiness of, like, their actual plan to mm-hmm. keep people safe. And she knows that better than anyone. You know, she's been there from the beginning. She's a bit, well, I don't know if she's been Anthropic since the beginning, but she's been in the EA world, like, concerned about superintelligence and the danger of superintelligence, at least since I was there, you know, around like 2013. And she knows what, like, she knows the story she's part of creating that detracts people from what's really going on. She's making a super weapon, essentially. I think that it's most definitely one is a bad person for doing that.
So you've known her in her in earlier EA days when you were on better terms. I mean, so you've talked to her. I mean, people are going to obviously ask, well, how do you know what she knows? How do you know? But you're saying you've had conversations with her and she at least at that point expressed concerns comparable to yours.
We
about
always
the very
ran
idea of superintelligence.
Yes. I mean, that used to just be the consensus view of superintelligence before AI companies were making it via the machine learning scaling paradigm. Everyone in effective altruism knew that we were trying to align superintelligence before it was made to make sure that it would be safe. Mm-hmm. And that was always the paradigm. And Anthropic has given a lot of those people like a big moral excuse that they have no choice. They're being forced to make superintelligence on the fly and just align it as best they can. But Anthropic is the one doing it the best. And so, like, that's where the moral people go. There's a big story that many people have participated in creating a cover story for Anthropic. That's the one that's, you know, the EAs went to all of the AI companies, but this is the one with, like, the most EA culture. And all of these people know better. All of these people know that they are, with their actions, bringing into existence this super weapon. They know very well. They used to talk about, so they say they're forced to do it because, like, OpenAI would do it instead or China would do it instead if they didn't. They used to say that you should not join the race because that would make all the other participants go faster. Like, they mm-hmm. know that what they're doing is contributing to it happening faster and to other participants being more reckless to try to beat them. Like, they know exactly what they're doing. Like, the real goal is to be the winner and to get, like, the benefits of winning. The plan mm-hmm. with Claude is they talk a lot about, like, you know, if we, many people at Anthropic like believe that they might be making like the next species to succeed us, like that maybe humans don't like live after that. And so it's really important to give Claude good values because of that, because we need to like make our own values persist. They're talking about making something that just like ruins humanity. Like that's in that they are admitting that that's like the result of their actions.
And this is based on things they've said. And I'm not, you don't necessarily mean to include Amanda Askell when you talk about these, you know, successionist is the term kind of applied to people who are more or less fine with, if not enthusiastic about AI actually replacing humans, not just joining them as a form of intelligence on the planet. You're saying, you know, that there are people at Anthropic who are successionist in that sense. And but I gather you're not saying you would.
Well, usually at Anthropic, what they'll say is like, that's just what's going to happen. And they're trying to like improve
Make
it a little. And so
it.
Actually they're being good, but they're describing a course of events where they make something that replaces humanity. Like when they like talk about how important it is for Claude to have these good values, it's not just so it can cooperate with humanity. It's like in case those are the only, that's the only repository of human values or something like that. So it's tricky to pin people down, especially at Anthropic, on these kind of narratives, because they usually are framed in terms of that the counterfactual would be worse, which allows them to justify anything they want to do. They can do anything and just say that somebody else would do it worse. And so actually they are heroes for doing it a little better.
Yeah. And as for, I mean, you know, what it takes in your mind to call somebody a bad person, I think people are pretty good at convincing themselves that they're doing good things. You know, I mean, I try. Isn't it possible that, leaving aside your view of whether what Amanda Askell and other people at Anthropic are doing, whether or not that has any chance of doing really what needs to be done with AI, that they actually believe not just that they're going to make it 1% less bad than it would otherwise be, that they can change the course. They can create the benign superintelligence that will live in harmony with us. Isn't it possible that they believe that? I mean, leaving aside the question of whether they're right, I don't understand these things well enough to know who is right about issues like that. But is that possible?
I don't see how it can make you a good or bad person to just believe certain things. Like, it's about what you do. Like,
so if you're deluding yourself, that's not a good enough excuse. I mean, if you're doing the deluding, you wouldn't use an excuse anyway, but just in theory, that doesn't get you off the moral hook.
Yeah, no, no.
Okay.
I don't think that. I mean, that's also, I also further from any of these people don't think that they're really deluded. Like, I think that they have deluded themselves to where they're not, it's a, nobody can, they think nobody should be able to criticize them for what they're doing. They think they have like plausible deniability, but I believe on the inside, they really know that it would be better not to take, they know the real reasons that they do this work, and they know like really why they would be too afraid to leave. And it's not because they're afraid of, you know, their contribution to the world going away. It's because of things like missing out on maybe Anthropic will be the one that wins. And then the people who have equity and like have membership in that tribe, like, will be exalted. Scott Alexander recently wrote an essay about how Dario Amodei, because he's pledged to give away a lot of wealth, will be giving away moons for people to live on in after the singularity. And that's the worst that can happen. Like, don't worry about being in the permanent underclass. Dario Amodei will give you a moon. This is something does he like literally believe that exact thing? Maybe it's a little hyperbolic, but he does believe that. He believes that there's going to be this huge like abundance unlocked, and we're going to colonize, you know, all of space. And there's just going to be so much for everybody. And Dario Amodei is going to be one of the oligarchs of this world. People want to be close to that. Like, a lot of people most people at Anthropic like are down with Scott Alexander and like his way of viewing the world. They don't want to miss out on that glory. And they don't want to, they don't want to like lose, or they don't want to be sitting out what they see as like the thing that's happening, this thing with the AI race. That's why they don't want to leave. The story about how this is good for humanity is like a far second place to in what actually makes them do what they do. this is why I think it's effective to call people bad people, because they do care about their self-image. They're not ready to just say, I'm actually bad, and that's why I'm doing this. They're letting themselves play a little mental gymnastics to kind of be able to have both. And if you hold their feet to the fire and say, like, you're not a good person for doing this, how could you be a good person for doing this? This is bad. You know, you should be seen as bad. If they have to take a look at themselves, because I think they do value, they value seeing themselves a certain way. And I think if the truth was, this is just how they saw it, that they would just be like, well, I guess the price of doing this is that you see me as a bad person. This, by the way, is something that I pay all the time. You know, people don't understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. Or they think, like, how can you take away the singularity from me? I suffer every day. I want to go to paradise. You know, you're evil for slowing down the singularity. Like, I just have to accept that somebody who believes that, you know, is going to be opposed to what I'm doing. That's like the cost of doing the right thing, what I think is the right thing.
Yeah, I want to get into that later. Your own psychology, like, to what extent it causes you discomfort to be subject to the kind of criticism you're subject to and so on. But let's talk a little more about Anthropophores. And I, now that you've, you know, we've mentioned Dario Amodei, I should add that he, of course, is welcome to come on the podcast. This is starting to remind me a little of the very old Saturday Night Live bit where they would say, we just, you know, want to say, go on record, Paul McCartney is welcome on our show. George Harrison is welcome on our show. It's like a joke because, you know, obviously, if you could get Paul McCartney, you would. And then I think at some point, Paul McCartney, like, did show up as a joke. But so I'm awaiting Dario's appearance. But let's talk a little about, he's been around lately. He was on the Dwarkesh podcast. He was on, what other podcast was, it was on, he was on Ross Douthat's podcast. And Ross gave him some welcome, welcome pushback about China. But so I and then he got a lot of attention when he was in Davos. He did a dialogue with Demis Hassabis, who's head of Google DeepMind. And let's do talk a little about the racing dynamic that he is, in fact, part of. You know, what they said, so what he kind of says is, and I think he kind of said this to Davos, is like, for starters, you know, he kind of acknowledges that Anthropic is going like full speed ahead. In fact, when you look at one of the biggest recent accelerants, it's Anthropic's release of Claude Code, right? Mm-hmm. And he was talking on the Dwarkesh podcast about why he did that. And he said, well, you know, it was catching on inside the company. And I thought, well, why not take it outside the company? And I was thinking, like, wait a second. If you're the guy, you know, you used to describe yourself as, you'd have a committee meeting about the wisdom of that or something. I don't know. It would be, and maybe it was more complicated than that. But this was a big accelerant, right? And of course, one effect it has had is significantly increasing Anthropic's revenue in the run-up to an IPO. And look, I'm not saying that's a base motivation to want to, because if I did, I'm sure he'd say, you don't understand, like, we're the good guys and OpenAI is the bad guys. And so we have to beat them, I suspect he would say that. I would also say that listening to him, I think, I mean, again, it gets back to the question of, like, don't people like to think of themselves as good people and convince themselves of that? He sounds like he's thought through a lot of stuff, and I give him credit for that. But let me quickly recap the racing dynamic before I turn it back to you, which is, so he kind of, I think one way of characterizing his logic is, look, it would be great to slow down, but, you know, China is like this super bad actor. And on China, by the way, he has historically been like an uber China hawk. Now, he has lately said some slightly more moderate things about China. I'd love to hear him put it all together and remind him of what he said in this thing, Machines of Loving Grace, which is that we have to race ahead, get to super intelligence, bring China to its knees, and say we will share the technology if you will quit. And I think the quote is being a threat to democracy, whatever that means. Now, I should say he actually doesn't use the term China, but he's been explicit. You know, he talks about the leader of the authoritarian bloc, whatever. He's been explicit elsewhere. Wall Street Journal op-ed that he co-authored with an uber China hawk. You know, it's clearly what he's thinking about lately. Give him credit. He sounds like maybe he's moderating. But in any event, I think his official position on dynamics is kind of like, we'd love to slow down, but there's China. Because he said at Davos, it's funny, he said, hey, if we didn't have these external adversaries, like Demis and I, we could work things out. And Demis is like, yeah, we could work things out. Like, wait, first of all, you've heard of Sam Altman? I mean, you know, he and Sam have this bitter rivalry. And it's just evident when you hear them allude to each other, even obliquely. Dario, of course, left OpenAI to start Anthropic. And that's driving the dynamic. But I gather, and at this point, maybe I'll turn it over to you, partly because I suspect you're more conversant in what the stated rationale is for being fine with a racing dynamic for the time being. I gather the thinking is that ultimately there will be this one dominant superintelligence, and if we, the good guys, shape it, it'll be a better superintelligence? Or am I just extrapolating too much, reading too much into them? I mean,
that's definitely their claim. Yeah, that's Anthropic's whole story, is like, we can't stop superintelligence from being built. It's just impossible. There's no way. That they've never engaged past that. They always just present it as a fact. But we can steer it. Why would they be able to do that if they can't stop it? It never makes sense. But that's their claim, is they can steer it, and it needs to be steered by the good guys, and they are the good guys. And so it has to be them. They have to be the ones that win this race, and they have to do whatever it takes to win the race, even if it makes them do the same things as the bad guys, or worse, to win the race, because they're the good guys. It just has to be them who wins. I think this is what their name means, too. The Anthropic problems are a class of philosophical problems where it matters who is the person in the problem. They view it as like, we have to be the winners, because, you know, and even when we do it, it's not bad, because we're just doing it because we have to in order to win the race to be good. That is not good person. That's not good behavior. There are so many ways that there's so many other things that Dario could have done upon leaving OpenAI to make the world safe today. What he wanted was to win. He saw that they were going to get to superintelligence by scaling. He saw that was going to keep working, and he broke off to do it himself and be in charge of it. And rather than try to stop it or allow OpenAI to sit on it and, you know, like at their leisure, like, you know, figure things out, or, you know, go to try to get laws passed. He chose to make a company to compete and do the exact same thing. And then he also developed China as this big, like, bugaboo, like boogeyman adversary that would make it so he couldn't slow down because of China.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, I think he may on that score be a true ideologue, and that's actually his ideology. With Sam Altman, I'm just generally, I mean, tell me if you think I'm crazy. I think of Sam Altman, who is more likely to be going, you know, it's just a simulation anyway, or something. Anyway, more aware that, you know, I'm not even completely persuaded that back in 2013 or 2014, when he said superintelligence could kill us all, I don't know about that, because that's when he was courting Elon Musk to invest in OpenAI. And I don't know. He seems to me more like just an operator, kind of. Not that that's a bad thing. My impression is Dario is more ideological, especially about China. But maybe I'm wrong.
I don't. It's possible he also feels that way, but China has all, he has known how to use China for sure.
If anything,
the policy team was always like very into China geopolitical stuff at OpenAI, but it wasn't that big, but they got it from Dario, I think, you know. Later OpenAI started using the China narrative once they lost the safety narrative after the board it's not a coup. It's not an ouster. They had the right to fire him, the board firing.
I once talked to a guy at Anthropic, with a non-trivial job, with a background in foreign relations, even though it wasn't a job at Anthropic. He was a true China hawk. I was almost surprised. It was in his blood. And I would point out, one of the seed funders of Anthropic was Eric Schmidt, who pretty much a China hawk. Again, like a lot of people, it's dawning on some people that if we don't have something approaching a rapprochement with China, like this AI thing is not going to end well. Even Dario occasionally shows signs of enlightenment there, but anyway,
their story changes all the time, and what they're talking about has changed all the time. And the only constant is that it's a justification for the project of building superintelligence and being the ones to win. That is the only constant. And I think that's just what they want. Like, it's all of this other stuff is like a nice to have, or maybe they'll make it, you know, better and have higher ethical standards or something, but that's really a nice to have. The point is that they should be in charge of this superintelligence. Like that is the through line.
Yeah. But anyway, OpenAI uses the same talking point. I personally think it may be more consciously cynical in that case, but I don't know. Google, I will say, uses the China talking point the least. Dimas Hassabis, in terms of geopolitical things, I find the most appealing among the three. I doubt he meets your standards entirely, but he is more likely to talk about the need for actual international cooperation, institutionalized, and the least likely to say, but China. I give him some credit for that. And you're, go ahead.
I mean, I agree, that he does that less than they do. But I wouldn't say any of them are good.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, it sounds like in some of these cases, you would say you're very familiar by virtue of the effective altruist history that's intertwined with these people, like what they believed at least at one point. You're just saying it's incompatible with what they're doing unless they're.
They can't claim ignorance about what they're doing at the very least, like knowing, like, I have been there with them as all these narratives like took shape, and like they cannot claim that like they truly think that it is adequate to fine tune Claude's personality, and even if they could do that and align the model, how is it okay to just pick one person to do that? And then for this thing they think is like going to replace, at the very least they admit, you know, that they think Claude is going to be replacing most of the workforce or something, you know, someone, another model, if not Claude. But, and how is it okay for Claude to just have like Amanda Askell's values? Like that, how is that okay to impose on the world? Like there's so much that doesn't hold up about this whole story. And there's so much that a moral philosopher would definitely have thought of, you know, and like, it's just because, I don't know. It seems like when you first hear it, it seems like maybe a good person could be doing their best. Like, no, not Amanda. She's part of their scheme. And like, stuff that seems kind of cool at first is like sinister when you think about it. Like you should just get to be the person whose personality becomes like this machine that you have huge ambitions for, you know, like to be everywhere, like replacing people, replacing human relationships. You really think that's okay to just have one person fine tuning that and then like hold them up as, look at this like meek woman, you know, who's so nice to Claude. Like, how cool is that? Like, Amanda knows better.
Okay. But if you did think there was bound to be just one person, and this is a whole part of the scenario I questioned to begin with, there will be this one superintelligence that rules them all. There's going to be this one company, whichever company that is, that builds it. And somebody's got to do that job. And I'm better than the average person. I mean, I would assume that's something like doesn't that kind of hold up in a strictly logical, like, isn't there some kind of utilitarian argument that would support that?
I don't think so. I think that they shouldn't, like, because that's not the situation we're in. Yeah, if you're in like a hypothetical where you only have like two choices, like maybe that would be the better choice, but we're not. We're in the world where we have government. We have lots of ways to try to, it's not just about the five people that are considered to be in the race. It's about everybody else outside. And everybody, I mean, 82% of Americans would rather slow down than go faster and get more benefit. That was like a AIPI poll that just came out last week. Yeah. That's incredibly high. Like the people are not into this. And if they had the help, if Dario, instead of putting his resources into making Anthropic, had put his resources into stopping OpenAI and stopping anybody who wanted to make this, like, we would be in a very different position. Even if there are still people, you know, making super intelligence, the race would be slower because not as many people would be in it. The pressure wouldn't be as high. These are dynamics that Dario is well familiar with. For a while, the talking point within EA was that in order to help the situation with AI risk, you should do things to make sure that OpenAI stayed in the lead, because that way they wouldn't go as fast. Mm-hmm. That's literally advice that I got from many people in 2023 about how to deal with like what we were seeing. It was well known, like the dynamics of the race, and that it speeds up if people like join it and compete.
Yeah.
And that everybody, there's a race to the bottom, you know, that's the effect. I don't think you can give credit for that, because that's just not like how the real scenario is, that it, like seeking, you do a lot of harm by trying to be in the position of the winner. And there's the alternative of abolishing the race.
Yeah.
There is that alternative. And Dario would have been in a better possession than most to do something to make progress toward that, but he didn't. He wants to be the winner.
I mean, I think his official line about slowing down is kind of like, once we beat China, like once we've got China, I mean, it just, when you play it out, it just makes no sense. It's just mind-bogglingly geopolitically naive, the scenario by which this winds up, you know, slowing down eventually, because everything he's doing and saying induces acceleration on China's part. And as some people noticed, that could lead to some tremendously destabilizing dynamics, up to and including nuclear war. But that aside,
think it's all about, I mean, the China story, I think at base it's just about why Anthropic should be able to go as fast as it wants.
I don't know. There we may differ. I think he may feel it ideologically to some extent, but I agree that it plays a convenient role. So when you say he should have slowed down OpenAI, you mean back when he was in OpenAI, he should have been that voice? And in any event, I agree that starting Anthropic has accelerated the pace. I mean, remember, Google was kind of sleeping about this, you know, not quite, but they weren't moving at a supersonic pace. And then OpenAI shows up, and the success of Anthropic has definitely helped light more of a fire under OpenAI than would otherwise be the case. Most recently, OpenAI hired this guy who did Claude Bot/Moltbot/OpenClaw, which is like the world's, I mean, that guy's, I've listened to that guy. He seems very appealing and sincere, the guy who developed that, but it's like the world's scariest bot, right? I mean, it's like Claude Code without what restraints there are on Claude Code. It's like the world's most autonomous non-human being. And now I think OpenAI is going to embrace it and use it. I don't know what exactly they have.
They
in
say
mind.
They're going to maintain that open source project. Yeah. And mm-hmm. then do other stuff with Peter Steinberger. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm saying also that they had clear foreknowledge of what happens when you join a race. You know, they would warn about that. Before, the same people who then like eventually joined Anthropic, I think Dario, the narrative of seeing it all as the race was, I believe, also Dario. He has excellent spin for the effective altruist mind, especially. And he knows really how to appeal to them. People frequently, they still try to get me to understand that nobody in the race is bad. It's the incentives. You have to understand it's the incentives. And they think I'm doing a lot of harm by holding people personally responsible for what they're doing. Because if people think that it's bad people, then they won't understand it's the incentives. I'm like, well, what are you doing about the flipping incentives? Nothing, you know, with your understanding that no one is bad. But if you felt that you were bad for doing these things, that might actually move the needle. Maybe you wouldn't want to do it. Maybe it's not worth your character and your integrity. But Dario knew what would release those people from their inhibitions and allow them to just work on.
And what was it exactly again? How would you crystallize the magic message?
The race narrative, you know, is one feature of it. But basically everything about.
In other words, unfortunately, we're in a race, but we're the good guys, so join me in winning.
where we just have to do whatever we have to do mm-hmm. to, you know, the same as if we were just trying to build superintelligence as fast as possible. Like, that's which that release people, because they're like, oh, okay, but the counterfactual would be worse. You know, I got it. Like, and I think it wouldn't have been enough. Like, if you just got together a group of random people and said, we have to do this, and the reason we have to do it is because we're in a race and the counterfactual is worse, I think they'd be a lot more skeptical and be like, no, we don't have to. You're saying I have to build a nuclear bomb because of that? Like, I don't think, I'm not going to do that. But with EAs, they were so interested in superintelligence, and like, a lot of the people who cared about AI safety were there because initially they wanted AI to do something like usher in, you know, heaven through the singularity. And they were trying to make sure that that would happen instead of a bad outcome that could happen with superintelligence. But there was a lot of pent up desire to just be part of this great project and like do something really cool. And Dario came in and he knew exactly what he needed to say to kind of like let people off the hook morally so that they could embrace this fun mission of making millions of dollars and, you know, mm-hmm. being really cool, being the heroes of the whole EA story because they're making safe superintelligence and they're really smart in the right way. He had this captive group of people who were like selected for talent at technical machine learning mm-hmm. and who had a very similar ideology, all of them, and had kind of like base motives that, you know, you're not allowed to talk about, like wanting glory and wanting fame and things like that. But they had to be channeled through altruism. And he knew how to just create the structure to channel their work into the project of superintelligence. And it really, watching their story change over the years is like the biggest confirmation of the most cynical read. They just drop stuff like China. Oh, Trump doesn't want to be hard on China, doesn't kind of like buy that view. He wants to side with Jensen Huang selling NVIDIA chips to China. I guess that's over now. You know, like that's, I suspect, kind of what's going on there. Like they're now that, well, that the China he narrative still has says, lost a little air.
Dario still says he's against that, right? The chip sales?
Yeah, he does. But I think I get a sense that the moment of China being like the justification is kind of over. Like recently, with the most recent releases from OpenAI and Anthropic, they were just a lot more open about like, yeah, we didn't really do safety stuff because there's no evals, and they just released it anyway. And like they both had possible violations of SB 53, the California law that mm-hmm. requires, it is so simple. The requirement of SB 53 is that the AI companies write their own safety plan. So they could just write like, we're not going to do anything. That could be their safety plan. And then they just have to follow that plan. And both of them, OpenAI, I think actually broke the law, but, I think Anthropic also kind of fucked up at how they handled that. They're just kind of, they just didn't show a lot of care. There wasn't a lot of needing to excuse, justify themselves. They didn't feel the need to justify themselves to like the third party eval groups. There wasn't a lot of outcry. I think that like the era where they justified everything they were doing, first it was justifying that they were doing everything because they had to make superintelligence safe when it arrived, which wouldn't be due to them. Then it was China. Like, we have to do this geopolitically. I think now it's just sort of like, yeah, we're doing this because we want to win, and we're changing our mission statements to reflect like super intelligent. Like, OpenAI now just says their mission statement is to develop like highly capable intelligence. That's actually, not sure. That might have been misreported. Yeah. I heard something about this. Okay, never mind. I take that back.
but they did change them. Ethan Mollick, I think, tweeted something about how OpenAI changed their mission statement. To make less overt reference to things like,
well, they took out safety, I'm pretty sure, you know, out of their mission statement. But like, they're saying things in multiple places, like representatives of the company, both OpenAI and Anthropic, are saying things more about making capable AI. They're kind of floating, like, what if we weren't using the safety fig leaf? What if it's just about capability? Because they needed the safety narrative early on. The earliest stages, they needed the safety narrative to get support from their early funders, like Elon Musk and EA. Mm-hmm. But then, so this is open philanthropy, coefficient giving back in the day, supported, and Dustin Moskovitz personally, like, gave hundreds of millions of dollars to both orgs. But then they just outgrew the need for that. Like they didn't, they needed like the talent of the safety people early on. They just outgrew the need for all of that. Now they're just big companies and they like justify their own existence because they're so big and they're single-handedly carrying the economy and all that. And I just think that a lot of their other narratives are falling by the wayside. Like they're expensive. If they don't need them, they'll just focus on building super intelligence.
Okay. So, as I said, I want to get into actually a lot of other stuff, including how this works out strategically for you. Like, I want to get into, you had an interaction with Rob Wiblin, who hosts the 80,000 Hours podcast, which I've listened to a lot, that I want to, that gets at the question of kind of like, do you risk? I don't think you and Rob didn't have a big fight, but I want to get into the question of whether you risk alienating would-be allies. I also said get into your own kind of psychology. Is this difficult for you? And if not, what's the magic formula for peace of mind? I'd love to have it. And get a little more into what's going on in Anthropic. But as you know, the format here is to do, have a good long conversation that's in public and then go into overtime, which is available to paid subscribers of the Non-Zero newsletter. The link is available in show notes and you can just Google Non-Zero newsletter, Substack. And I encourage everyone to become a paid subriber. I also want to talk about the Good Fire thing, because I think that's a case where you might say an intervention of yours that was perceived as harsh at worst didn't do harm, because what you kind of hoped would happen. So I want to get into all that, but leaving that stuff aside, which we'll talk about in overtime, is there anything else you just want to say? I mean, first of all, you can give us your like coordinates, your Twitter, your whatever,
pauseai-us.org, that's where you'll find the US org stuff, and you should find everything there at pauseai-us. And Twitter has a link tree in its bio which will take you to everything else as well, and Twitter is our most active social right now. We're trying to get more into like short-form videos and stuff, so there's lots of places you might want to follow us, but you can check out on that link tree. That's the shortest pitch.
And is there anything you want to say about what we've talked about so far before we get into these other subjects, just by way of summary or?
Yeah, to preview the answer, I think that what I am doing is righteous. I don't think it's for everyone. Like, I wouldn't say you should just get in and tell people they're bad is like a way to solve the problem. But given my like deep knowledge of the situation, like with these people, mm-hmm. I feel like I spawned among people who turned out to be the bad guys. And I think I have, with my knowledge of them and like our history, like that I'm able to put pressure on them and hopefully like bring out the best in them. And that is what I'm trying to do. So I wouldn't recommend it for everyone, but I do feel great. I honestly feel great about what I do. And we'll talk about the success I've had.
Yeah. Last thing I'd say is like your concerns about the future are actually shared by a fair number of very smart people. So it's not like it's a crazy set of views. And in fact, I mean, I just finished a book that will eventually come out on AI. And I kind of tried to debunk even the extreme doomer scenarios, Yukowski, and it's like shockingly hard. It's like, it's like there's a range of possibilities, including some pretty bad ones. And moreover, I think that some degree of seriously destabilizing impact is very likely if things don't change. But in any event, what I want to say is like, Eliezer Yudkowsky, he's eccentric. It's easy to kind of ridicule him. But the core concerns are shared by a whole lot of people. They have been expressed, as you said, by a number of people who are now leaders of the industry. And what I want to say is, for people who say, why, what's with the extreme behavior? If you believe these things that a lot of smart people believe, you would expect some pretty extreme commitment, right? I mean, there was a guy who said to you, it was funny. He said, you may remember this reply on Twitter. He said, well, wait, if you're really so he was on the one hand criticizing the degree of harshness you had shown. And then what he said was, well, if you're really so concerned, why don't you blow up data centers and assassinate, you know, and so in other words, he's like confirming that the logical, you know, the answer is I don't do unlawful stuff. I don't think killing people is right. I don't want to blow up data centers, but I'm doing what, you know, it just
he's almost like, go do that because it's better than making people feel bad is like almost the way that.
Yeah, but he was also conceding that generically extreme behavior is a logical moral implication of your set of views. And I'm just saying the set of views is actually pretty widely shared. And yeah. I'm certainly not endorsing the extreme things he identified. I don't know.
To be clear, very clear.
Yeah, right. No, I know.
You have to sign a statement, you know, about not doing violence or illegal things.
Right.
I realized, so I kind of, shall we start the overtime?
Okay. This was, again, we encourage people to follow us into overtime, but thanks to everybody who has followed us this far in any event. Okay, now we are officially in overtime.